The scripture passage today from the lectionary is one that I started out trying to make this highly rational. I thought it was a tight theological argument, and what I came to understand as I studied it is the first half of this passage is more like poetry. It's like a hymn, a song. It's there with these images that are there to cascade over you and to help you feel more than think, to feel and experience the love of God in Jesus Christ. It is written in a letter, and it is part of the epistles of the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, which is the title, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. For this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Catholic theologian John Donne, I used to teach at Notre Dame. Donne shares a parable that I think is simple but powerful. He says, imagine a human being, man or woman, your choice. Imagine a human being down in a valley. They're in a life that is filled with pain, difficulties, and strife. Imagine a human being such as this deciding that they have had enough, that they want to move past this, overcome these, and they're going to do it by finding God. They believe that God lives up on a high mountaintop, and so they begin the long journey up the mountain, away from the noise and daily strife, away from the distractions and difficulties, away from the divisions and wars. For up on the mountaintop, they will find God. They will find peace. The top of the mountain, not only will they find God, but they will be able to participate in God and maybe even in some way become God. But when this person gets to the top of the mountain, they do not find God, because God is not there. Long before, God had decided to leave the mountaintop and to come down into the valley, into the midst of all the miseries, not to escape, but to plunge into the pain and suffering, because only there could God change it and redeem it and transform it. The one up on top of the mountain, that one comes to recognize their mistake. So they turn around and go down the mountain to find God by plunging into the difficulties of life. John Donne says there's a truth both to the journey up the mountain and to the journey down the mountain. Going up the mountain is recognizing that the world as it is not the world as God intended it to be. Turning our back on the world is a recognition that we choose to be different and not to be defined by what has been given to us in the world. There's a truth to that. But the greater truth is also, once you've hit that mountaintop, turning back and coming down and plunging into the world. The truth of turning back to go where God is, immersed in the pains of the world, seeking to be a redeeming and transforming force of love in the world. There's an emptiness on that mountaintop, and there's a fullness in the valley below. It may be filled with difficulties, but it is also filled with the manifestations of love from God and from the faithful. I think that is such a simple image, but one that rings true with us. But what we have discovered in Jesus Christ is God who has come down and been immersed in the difficulties of life, not set away and apart, but involved in all there is, in the midst of the difficulties. God is the light shining in the darkness. In every corner, in the deepest darkness, God is there, overcoming the despair with the light of life. This book of Ephesians, this letter that was written to the churches at that time long ago, was written in a time when they were filled with divisions. In particular, one side that had no boundaries, it was sort of anything goes, was chaos. The other side of the division had such firm boundaries, nobody else could get in. It was like a tomb. Christ comes into that world, and he doesn't choose one side or the other, but rather Christ comes and brings a new creation, a new way of seeing, new ways of living. But how does Christ do it? Christ does it through his disciples, the apostles, the disciples, the church. Manifestation of God's love happens through the church of Jesus Christ. As the scripture says, Christ is the head of the body, and this letter in particular makes it absolutely clear that Christ feels the pains of the rest of the body. But that love of Christ is manifest as the body is together with the head. The head guiding and helping us to see and know what's there. The letter starts out, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. There's rumors going around. There's rumors of these people who love one another so powerfully that people talk about it. A church with a reputation, a clear identity. A church that is filled with faith. It says you have a faith, and what is faith but a trust in what is real? They've discovered what is more real than anything else. It's that love, that sacrificial love. They keep on pointing to the cross. They keep on pointing to the cross and talking about Christ on the cross. They don't stop there. Christ was raised from the dead. It's a trust in the way of living. that we live by the love, the sacrificial love of Christ, and as we make those sacrifices in love, we come to discover what is most real and what matters the most. They'd found what was most real in life, and they are set free to live in that love. It says, "And I have heard of your love for all the saints." For all the saints. When I hear that phrase, I have to think about the trip that some of us made with the youth group here from Westminster. We went to visit our friends in Lohmann, Germany, and then we went across Germany into Switzerland, to Geneva, Switzerland, which is like the mothership of the Presbyterian Church, right? Geneva, Switzerland's an amazing place because you have all these world headquarters of places and organizations that want to make peace and bring about healing in the world. How did that get started? It got started with John Calvin, who came and turned the church into a place that was a force for good in the world, as they sought to make this a manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. In the middle of Geneva today, there's a fountain in this big lake. The fountain reminding you of that God calls for justice to flow like a fountain and righteousness like a never-ending stream. We were walking around that lake. We walked the streets past John Calvin's house. That was pretty cool. Then we walked to the church. We had a guide with us. He had a very heavy French accent, and we asked him the name of the church, and he said St. Peter's, and we weren't quite sure we heard him right, because I thought St. Peter's was in Rome. And we said, "Wow, isn't that kind of a Catholic name for the founder of the Presbyterians to have a church?" And he said, "No, for Presbyterians, we're all saints. We're all saints. The Presbyterians and the Catholics and the Baptists and the Methodists, and just keep naming them all. We're all saints." And every member of the church is called to live that life of the saints of God. The priesthood of all believers, meaning we all have a call. We all have a call to do something important, and it doesn't matter how large or how small, we all have a call to do these things that build up the body, that strengthen the body in love, and share the joy together. For each church, for all denominations, we're all the people of God. We all hear the voice of the one head of the church universal, Jesus Christ, and we all have a calling. And we are connected to each other. It's like that story of the little child whose foot gets stepped on, and his toe is bruised, and who screams and cries, and his father tries to comfort him, and he says, "It's just your little toe," to which the kid screams, "But that's my favorite toe." Doesn't matter how big or how small, we're connected. We love one another. We seek to find ways to care for one another. We may not be perfect, but we know that we're trying to allow the love of God to illumine our hearts so we discover more and more how to better love one another and live as that light in the world. In the church, there's a great many different roles, but every person matters. Every person has a call to ministry that helps to take care of the body, that helps to build up the body and let the light of Christ shine in the world. There's so many different ways that this church embodies that love. I am in awe of what this congregation does. I'll lift up just one. I'm excited about the work of the deacons right now. I've been talking with them. We've been talking about how we can organize ourselves in some different ways and how we can work better. And we had a brainstorming session, and we're trying to get a vision of what it is that we could do. And one of the deacons said, "Well, I read this book called The Five Love Languages. That's what we need for the deacons." I think that'd be a bestseller, The Five Love Languages of the Deacons. Because we want to find ways, creatively, to love one another, to care for one another, to substantively show that everybody matters. That's what we do. Ephesians expresses gratitude for the faith of the people. Faith is about entrusting our lives to Jesus here and now. Then it goes on to talk about hope. Hope is not about the here and now, it's about the future. About as we trust in Christ, where he will lead us. Where he'll lead us in the near term and where we are headed in the far term. If we want to be people of hope, it requires wisdom and knowledge and insight. It requires the Spirit to move among people who talk with one another and who dream with one another. We're in a time of dreaming and hoping to see new light into the future, because we too are a people of hope. Ours is a hope not for things that can't become reality, but what the world actually can become in Christ Jesus. We may live in cynical times, but we are in Christ. And as we are in Christ, the light of Christ shines in our hearts. And it shines among us. And it surprises us with the possibilities of faith, hope, and love that God makes possible. Christ is Lord, and we believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says Christ is Lord of the living, which means he's Lord of all the living, for all live in him. Those who may be lost to us on earth through death are not lost to God. They live eternally with him in the light of his love. So we lift up their names today. We remember them. There will be names read on our list, but I know everyone here has someone, some saint that has come before them, that has touched their life. And I invite you, as we read these other names, to please lift up their name in your heart. Give thanks to God for what was given to you, for the blessings that you received. And give thanks to God that your loved one lives eternally in his light and in his blessing. For we are, in the church, part of that sainthood of all believers, the people who believe that God has allowed God's love to shine on us and bless us, and that love shines through our hearts, and it illumines our way in the darkness, so that we might find our way on earth, that we might find our way in our heavenly journey to discover again the homecoming, the blessing of God with all the saints, where there is neither pain nor sorrow nor sighing, but only life everlasting and the joy of God's eternal love. May that light shine on them and on us now and always. Amen.